This is RSBNB Update episode 148. Recorded Friday, April 11th, 2008. Albarcus.
Hello, everybody. RSBNB Update, episode 148. It's not prime, not square root, or cube root, or anything to my knowledge, so let's just forget that.
What?
Well, when we did episode 144, you know 144 is the square root of 12, right?
Yeah.
I mentioned that on the show, so. Anyways, yeah, so Mike is here.
Hello.
And Paul, who is now an events crew member.
Yep.
Purple.
Yep. Yep, nice and purple.
I can't remember who picked the purple color for events room.
It was creepy.
Yeah.
It was creepy because that's his favorite color.
Yeah, that's right. Creepy picked the purple color. Anyways, so Brad's not here this week. He's taking a little vacation. Going to see some friends somewhere in England. I'm not exactly sure where, but that's where Brad's going. Or has gone, I guess. Mike's here filling in for half of Brad, and Paul's filling in for the other half of Brad. So, Fist of Gothics, that wonderful player versus player minigame that we were all so promised at the end of last year. Based on I'm not hearing any shouts of enthusiasm, I'm guessing that we're all a little underwhelmed, to say the least.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Fist of Gothics. Fog, you know? You know, when I go to do the Tears of Gothics, I often call it the Fears of Gothics. Just, I think that happened once because of a typo or something, because, you know, the T and the F are so close to each other. So, anyways, that's a little side note there. Fog. Well, basically, it's a one versus one player game. You know, they're trying to fill the void of the Wilderness PK, so I've been thinking to myself since this came out, which branch of Wilderness PKers does this game cater to? What do you guys think?
The people who want money. Seems to be getting a lot of people money, but that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a good point that I did see lots of peers in there, which rather... Anyways.
The noobs. The peers are the noobs.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, you know, you get these people, like, it's you know the standard, how they are. But anyways, this is in a little dungeon cave entrance you go in, which is just north of Varrock and level, I don't know, it's less than level 9 wilderness, I think. So, not that bad to get to you. They say it's a safe minigame, but you can be attacked by the Reverend Ghosts on your way there. But, you know, for people at our level... 119 for me. What's Mike? 121?
122.
Okay, and
Paul? And
Paul
is...
134.
Okay. And those ghosts at that level of wilderness aren't likely to attack us.
They can't attack me. Yay.
No, that's good.
Actually, well, I guess in level 9 they could, but...
Anyways, so you go into this little cave. They say you need to bring your armor and weapon... So I guess that makes sense, because it's a fighting game. To get started, you need to talk to Fiara. What the heck kind of person is that? Is that like a...
Jagex was high. I mean, seriously.
It says...
It's a giant earwig thing.
What is an earwig?
It's a bug.
Oh.
It's a very unpleasant bug.
It looks very weird.
Yeah, I just put earwig into... Google, and the first hit was on Wikipedia, which is taking an unusually long time to load.
Mushroom Queen posts on the forums that it needs 3 bras.
What? Huh. I don't see where she can see that. You guys?
I can see where she can see that, yeah.
Okay. Well,
it's got like 3 ridges on each side. So.
Just call it ridges then. That's the Wikipedia page, and that's what the bug looks like. That looks like nothing like the bug that's on Wikipedia. So, yeah, that's kind of a strange creature. So you need to talk to this. Is it a he or a she? Oh, yeah,
I'd hope that name is a girl, but you never know.
Yeah, you'll find her in her alcove at the eastern end of the cave. Okay. So basically you talk to this person, or bug, giant bug as you can call it, and she educates you on the wonderful art of Fears of Guthix. Oh, I mean, Fog of Guthix. No, what's Fist of Guthix. There we go. Oh my.
Okay.
So that's a name. That's my name that I give it. But anyways, after that, inside the game, there's two roles that you play, Hunted and Huntee. Or those are the same thing. Hunter and Hunted. So, basically, if you're the hunter, you track down your opponent and kill them. And if you're the hunted, you have to gather your stone and then go sit in the center for as long as possible and try and gather up charms. Or, I mean, charges, right? That's what they're called.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
A maximum of 5,000, I believe.
I wonder if anyone's achieved that.
Yeah, a few of my friends have, and they say apparently it's not too hard, but...
Okay. When you go in there, you're given 5 bandages, 300 catalytic runes, and 1,000 elemental runes. So that... Why can't we have these kind of runes in real life, you know? Like, real life RuneScape, not a minigame. That would be fun.
They're way too convenient.
I know.
They'd be super expensive if we could get them, though.
Yeah, and you'd probably only be able to have, like, what, 5 at a time?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, well. And then there's also 4 little huts inside the big circular area, as I see it. And in these huts, you can go in there to take refuge, and if you take a portal, it'll teleport you somewhere else inside the arena, which is a bit annoying, as I'm sure we've all found out, right?
Yeah, but they do take damage when they go in.
Yeah, so... I don't know. And then the big thing in the center is called the Fist of Guthix, which strangely doesn't look like a fist, I don't think. Does it look like a fist to you guys?
No.
No.
It's just a big circle on the floor.
Yeah, so... Nothing really special with that. So, somebody enlightened me. How do you... Person who has the most charges wins?
Yep.
So, in essence, the highest defense people that win then, right?
The person who hides more.
Well, that makes sense, you know? Because you need to have a good defense in order to not get killed right away, you know? So, whatever. Before we go on to rewards, let's just go through a bit of the things. Like a 250-player limit in a world that's designed for 2,000... That doesn't really seem...
Yeah, it's Jagex's logic right there.
It doesn't seem that clear.
And it has a minimum, too.
Minimum of what, 75, right?
I don't know.
It's just like, this is what they always do. They always do things, but they never get them right.
At least not the first time around, and it takes them quite a long time to get it to where it's... It's at a point to enjoy it.
Whoa, what was that?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Oh well, we'll just continue on. No potions or food allowed inside, which is rather saddening to me. Because, you know, this was the big break I was hoping for that would bring Herblore back to its former glory. As without people buying supersets, well, it's just become a lot harder to actually do 99 Herblore easily and without spending a huge chunk of cash, as we had been discussing before, so I don't know, it's a bit saddening to me. What do you guys say on, should they have allowed you to bring your own potions in at least, rather than, because you don't need food, right? But should they have allowed potions?
I've heard of haven't allowed potions, but occasionally when you're in there, it seems like your stats are boosted. But I don't know if that was just several people's feelings on it, or if it was actual boosts.
Well, apparently the closer you are to the center when you're being hunted, the lower your stats are, like the lower they appear or something.
Interesting. So in effect, being in the center then makes you more vulnerable. Is that what we all mean, or I don't know. But I don't know. Let's just move on to the rewards and then rate this one and call it done and forget it ever happened.
Yeah.
Druidic mage robes. I like the look of these because they're green. That's about the only reason. Require 20 magic and 10 defense. Rather crappy stats. So, I don't know. Would you get any of these, Mike?
No, the stats aren't that great.
Okay, combat
and
hood.
And you have to repair them.
Yeah, that's another downside.
So you have to keep playing the game to repair them.
Oh, that's so cunning of them, you know? Make an item that needs to be repaired by playing the game that got it. That'll keep people playing it for ages.
They want to keep the item anyway.
Yeah. Combat hood, once again, like the druidic mage robes, not really that amazing. 20 magic and 10 defense. The battle hood, which is a nice purple for those of us here who like purple and want a new purple outfit to wear. Go right ahead. 60-50 required. Magic defense. Oh yes, then we got the colored dragonhide coifs. Which is obviously in relation to the dragonhide dragons that regular dragon armor, dragonhide armor is made out of. So, black, green. Green being free to play and the other ones being members based. And then this is where the rewards start becoming really suspicious. The gauntlets, which are worse than the recipe for disaster gloves, but managed to degrade themselves. Like, come on. Oh my god.
Yeah.
On the plus side, for free to play, at least anything up to rune is usable, so they get something out of it. But
yeah. Good for them, I guess. But I'm sticking with my Barrow's gloves.
By a long shot, yeah.
Because they give attack bonuses as well.
Yep, so. God, I don't know. And then the Berserker and Spike Shields for Rune, which gives strength bonuses, obviously catering to those of us who want to get maximum strength bonuses here. But then again, these Rune Shields have the standard Rune defense bonuses and whatnot, so you're obviously better with using your standard members' combat gear. This was more and more like a free-to-play update in these departments, you know? So they can't complain now. So
yeah, they're getting a lot of updates considering they don't pay, but I'm not saying that's a bad thing for all your free-to-play, but
it sort of had to happen after the Wilderness update, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To reconcile with the huge free-to-play population that was lots of them PK'd, so anyways,
but instead of giving them a good game, they're just giving them items that they have to play the shitty game for.
Yeah, that's rather stupid. Herb gloves. Eric gloves, Avanto gloves, Quorum gloves, and Cadentine gloves. Which crumble to dust after 100 such drops, but they do make a massive majority of the herbs become that kind of glove that you're wearing. You know, here we go again with Herbler. Are they purposely trying to kill the skill with these, you know? Adding more Cadentine into the market? That's not going to make people want super defense potions. Adding more ear, it's not going to make
that's just
going to
make
that.
Prices go down farther.
I know! Like, what's going on
here? Especially because if we don't need to use potions and no one needs to buy potions, prices aren't going to go up for quite a long time.
They're just going to keep going down.
And these are already the cheaper high-level herbs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The other ones are more expensive.
The thing is, with the herbs recently, all the herbs except for, I think, Ranner and Toadflax have been going down. Or remaining constant. But those two have been going up. Because that, of course, you can... Ranner is always the prayer potion, which has always been one of the best to not lose money on. And Toad Flax for Sarah Doman Brews, which we all know that that's what most people use to get high Herblore. But as we were talking in the pre-show, for me to get 99 Herblore with Sarah Doman Brews, it would cost negative 146 million. Which I'm really not willing to put that much into that kind of money sink right now for just a Herblore cape. You know, I posted this on RuneWire last night that for me Herblore has kind of changed, because originally it was rather entertaining to train for me because I was able to collect my own ingredients, do my own sort of things with supersets and whatnot, but now I just have to buy the herbs, clean them my own, make the potions, sell, take a loss in the end to get a nice cape, which I don't know about you guys, but that's really not much of a incentive to train it, so end rant there.
Yeah, I've only gotten Herblore or Herblore through Slayer and just Manage Thy Kingdom for the past couple levels. There's no real market for it anymore.
Exactly.
And once you're 81, there's no reason to go up any higher.
Mm-hmm.
There's no incentives anyway.
It's actually from 60 to 81, that's how I got. I used the kingdom for that primarily. So. Mm-hmm. Anyways, fishing gloves. Shark gloves and swordfish gloves. They give you 100 extra fishing XP for each time you catch the same sort of fish as your gloves. And they'll crumble to dust after catching 1,000 of these. Runecrafting gloves. Air, earth, and water. Double the experience. You know, originally it did sound kind of too good to be true when they said runecrafting gloves. I think a lot of us got our hopes up that there would be like nature gloves and death gloves, you know? But
yeah,
there's not. Just imagine double XP on crafting nature runes.
No, that would be nice.
I know.
Yeah,
start. That would make me do the crappy little mini game just to get that.
But they've crumbled to dust, so. A handful of dust. Dragon Slayer gloves.
An hour in.
These ones sound sort of interesting. 10% Slayer XP. 10% more Slayer XP when you kill a dragon with these gloves, and once again, crumble to dust after 1,000 dragons. You know, that one might be useful. What do you guys think?
Yep. My friend, that's all he did today. He got Dragon Slayer gloves and accidentally bought swordfish gloves. But, yeah, apparently they're close to each other, or he slipped with his mouse. But he got his Dragon Slayer gloves and ended up getting a Iron Dragon task, and he seemed to enjoy them, so whatever.
Well, he didn't know until after he did the thing, so he did the task with swordfish gloves.
Or did he just buy both?
No, he bought swordfish gloves first. Yeah, he bought swordfish gloves first by accident, and then he started spazzing, and then he ended up going back to buy the dragon gloves after another hour or so of
the shitty game. So what do we?
Yeah,
the shitty game.
Well, it's okay, but I don't like it.
And neither do I. Ratings, please start with Mike.
Well, the rewards are the only good thing about the game. I don't like the gameplay at all. Only the fishing gloves and green crafting gloves, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rate it, I don't know, like 3 out of 5, I guess.
Okay. Paul?
I'd also have to go with a 3 out of 5, especially for any member who's maybe above level 100 combat. The rewards aren't that
pleasing.
Tempting. But if you're free to play, it's a great place, I suppose. And if you're a decent, medium-high level member, I suppose quite a few things would be tempting. But for a lot of the higher level players, it's kind of a waste of time.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be personally fun in there if you could go in there and ice barrage people. I would enjoy that.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I had 94 magic.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give it a 3 as well. So, that's that. Little changes this week. hunter pet variations. Monkeys, squirrels, raccoons, and geckos can now be found in several different shapes, sizes, and colors, so get hunting. So does this mean you could have a green gecko? And be like the gecko rendering engine?
You can be like the Geico gecko.
Oh, yeah, that commercial. Monkeys, squirrels, I don't know. Pet squirrel would be nice, you know? Just have to be sure they don't bite your finger off. Because, you know, squirrels can
shoot
actually
it.
Attack people like that.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. I have squirrels in my backyard.
I was told never to touch squirrels because they bite your finger.
Won't touch them, but...
They won't come near you.
What you just got to
get in an environment. Oh, man, if a flying squirrel landed on you, that'd be insane.
Okay, and monkeys... Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, for those of you guys who like your summoning pets, there you go, some more of that. And this is a good update. Party room chest now displays the worth of items, so you don't have to be gauging it as to whether or not it'll set off banker alarms across RuneScape, which is always good in case you want to keep your private your parties nice and private, you know?
So. Don't spam the rest of the world, jeez. I hate that so much. I'm in a bank and all of a sudden, one mil drop party.
Yeah, they all say it too. They don't all need to say
it. It's so annoying.
Well, it's just to prevent people from using that as a way to distribute items, you know? But
I wish we could like set a limit to start telling me about it. It's like, well, I'm not going to even show up to one unless it's, you know, above 15 mil. Or, you know, something that I know is in there, but I don't need to be warned about a 1 mil drop party. I'm not going to show up for it.
You know what would be fun to do would be get like 1,000 like burnt fish or something, or 1 million burnt fish, because they'd be worth like what, 1 GP each. Put those in and get people to come.
Yeah.
The best one I saw was it was a couple of. It was right when the Grand Exchange, but the prices were added to the drop party, and someone put in like 5,000 or 3,000 red topaz machetes. I don't know how they got them, but they did, and it was like an insane amount of money. They were like 200K each, which, you know, no one's gonna pay that anyway, but. I don't know. I was expecting some awesome item in there, like a party hat, and it was like, wow, that's lame.
Yeah, that can happen from time to time, so best to check the box before you make a commitment to stay. Ibis, Granite Crab, and Granite Lobster now have fishing XP when give you their fishing XP when catching a fish. Which is good for... Makes sense, because, you know, like the beaver and stuff used to do that, and... The combat ones do that, so why not make the fishy ones do it?
Yeah.
Graphical bugs. They list a few graphical bugs here. Apparent Ned's Nod has disappeared and a small hole opened up on Karamja. Guthix has restored balance and these have been repaired. Okay, that's nice to know, but who really would notice that?
Well, I guess some people obviously noticed it.
People killing yaks, I suppose.
Yeah.
Cullen
or Mance, I still don't know how to say that. The Cullen or Mancer's chest from Recipe for Disaster and the Gnome Ingredients. Shop prices have been changed to be more suitable and pleasing, so that's good. PayPal subscription.
I wonder what they were before.
I don't know. They weren't that bad before, you know. I've tested them. So. I don't know.
I'm thinking of buying pizza supplies there. Or
yeah, I think so.
They have
so.
A little bit, but it's...
I know I used to use that chest for gathering ingredients for building regular energy potions. The chocolate bars, and I crunch them up, you know, and then... That's when I was lower herbivore, so. PayPal subscription changes. Did anybody here pay with PayPal?
Yeah, I do.
So what exactly does this mean?
Well, before you had to pay with PayPal through Pay by Cash, so that was like an extra step with a a charge on it, but it was still cheaper than paying by phone.
Okay.
So now they just go directly through PayPal instead of going through Pay by Cash as well.
I wonder why they weren't just going directly through PayPal before.
Well, I guess it's because Pay by Cash, like they have a service where like they'll manage it for you, I guess. I don't know.
Oh.
But PayPal, you have to like code up your own system for like automatically doing things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's that one. And the poll this week, the Fun Orb poll. A few questions, so we'll make our way through them. I'll take the first two. Had you heard about funorb.com before this poll? 83% say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
How did you first hear about the release of Funorb?
From a fan site.
I know, me too. 50% though say yep. From the news post on runescape.com. Like, I don't know,
yeah,
from a search engine? 1%? RuneScape billing pages 3%?
Jeez.
Like, would that be fan sites, I guess? Other gaming site?
Maybe, like, Miniclip.
Oh, God.
Well, fan site, RuneScape fan site, I don't know if there'd be a Java-based fan site out there, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think WoW would be supporting FunOrb, but you never know.
No, maybe. You know the chess game is awfully fun, though, you know?
Yep.
So, I don't
so
know.
So I've heard.
Paul, next two questions, please.
How many FunOrb games have you played? And the winning vote is 39%, 1-4. And next is 38% with I have not played any FunOrb games.
Well, yeah. That certainly tells them something, hey?
Yeah.
So who is playing FunOrb then?
I've tried a couple and they're not that great.
I know.
At least from what I could see. They took forever to load. I mean, it was insane to load. But I don't know. Most of them are either clones or, you know, pretty close to clones of other Flash-based games that are, they work better and they've been out for years, so it's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
So, okay. Obviously, Jagex needs to do a bit of marketing work. Question four. What?
What happened?
I don't know.
Sorry, I've been fading in and out. It's something with the university connection.
Okay. So, are you taking question four then, or?
Sure.
Okay.
What is your favorite FunOrb game? And of course, the lean is I have not played any FunOrb games. And second is I do not have a favorite FunOrb game. So.
I wonder if those are
Jagex.
Like the same.
Oh, probably.
People didn't notice the other option, so they just chose I do not have a favorite.
Yeah.
Arcanist seems to be the only hit game. It's like the only one that's really newish, I think.
Mm-hmm. I've never played it because you need to be a member on FunOrb to do it.
I tried a bit of the like trial or whatever, the single player. I don't know. I don't really like it. It kind of reminds me of those buddy things that people make for form avatars.
Oh, God.
And I don't really like it at all.
Okay. I voted chess, surprisingly.
Yeah, me too.
So, that's that.
Just because there's not really anywhere you can play chess, I haven't found anywhere you can play chess with someone
online.
Look
at this. 350 votes. Dr. Phlogiston saves the Earth.
Well, sounds like something that some weird 70s movie.
Yeah, it does. The only reason it caught my eye was because the name was so long. Anyways, Mike, last two questions, please.
Alright. We already have a number of different game types in the pipeline, like Tower Defense and Pool, but which of the following game types would you like to see more of on FunOrb? 44% is action/adventure.
Well, yeah, how are you going to do that on a Java-based game engine, you know?
Yeah. And then strategy is there with 30%. Role-playing, 29%. That's like RuneScape. First-person shooters. Yeah. Good luck doing that in Java.
Just imagine a Call of Duty 4 version of the a Call of Duty 4 version in Java. You remember last night how I was saying that the bullets seem slower? Just imagine how slow it would be, how slow the reaction time it would be on with Java.
Yeah. Well, apparently they've done Call of Duty 4 for DS. I don't know how that works, but...
Wow.
Hold the DS in a position of a gun somehow and hook it up to a TV, maybe?
I doubt it.
Okay, and shoot 'em up, 25%. That's interesting.
That's like the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought too. Unless there's some difference we're not aware of. Sports?
I don't know. Word games. You don't.
I'd play Scrabble.
Yeah, but they can't really. I guess they could do like a clone of Scrabble.
Name it. How do you say Scrabble in reverse? S C R B B L E. Name it E L B B A R C S. Let's see how this would be pronounced. Anyways, any guesses on how you'd pronounce that?
No.
I'd butcher it anyway. So.
Alibars. Alibars.
Alibarks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, next question.
Alibars.
Okay, Shane.
Alibars.
Do you prefer single player or multiplayer games? 69% said multiplayer, 31% single player.
Yeah, I think I'd say multiplayer too, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so much more fun when you're doing it against a real opponent, you know? So, oh, that was that's the fun orb poll, which clearly indicates that JAGX has some work to do in relation to fun orb and the RuneScape population and cross-market pollination. So, anyways, I guess that means we're on to questions. So, first question this week is from Samuel. Do you have any fears/phobias? You guys go first, Mike.
I don't know. Not really. I guess I don't really like spiders.
Why?
I don't know.
If I ever find one downstairs, I pick it up with a Kleenex, of course, as to not spread disease, then put it in the toilet to see if it can swim.
Yeah, I still do that, but I just don't like spiders.
Paul?
I can't really think of any off the top of my head, but I don't know. I don't like sudden, random... I don't know. I don't like to be scared, per se. Like, just the sudden...
Suspense?
Bursts is...
So, like, the screamer videos.
Yeah, those are bad. Yeah. I don't react very well to those.
Okay.
Well, I mean, it's not like I... you know, burst out into tears or anything, but it gets me moving.
Yeah, I know what you mean there. As for me, I really can't think of anything. I don't know. Can you guys think of anything for me?
Balloons.
Not really anymore.
I know you used to be when you were younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about cheese?
Oh, no. Please, no. No, that's
what?
That's bad.
Pasta.
No, it's
pasta.
Just those are things I don't like, not things I'm phobic of. You know. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, for anybody who wants to know, if you're afraid of nothingness, i.e., being scared of just being in an empty place, that's called nyrophobia. When you're scared of just being in, like, an open room and nothing else in there, you know? So I just figured I'd tell you guys that in case anybody is.
Okay.
Thank you, Samuel. Mike, next question, please.
Okay. What do you think people who practice witchcraft use Ouija boards or try and summon spirits? Thanks, Kenny. P.S. Thanks for Halo event. I really enjoyed it.
Well, that's good you enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think he's missing a word in there. It
yeah, I think, what do you think of people, it should say.
Okay. I don't know, it's weird. A weird hobby.
You know, if there was any truth in it, we'd see scientific proof about it, but something can't be proven scientifically. There's no reason to believe that it exists. That's what I gotta say about this one. That's pretty much all I have to say.
I agree with that. Like,
if you can't prove it by science, it's not there. So, I don't know. I think the people who do use them are just looking for something to back up claims that there's certain noises in their house or something, you know? Or that they want to summon spirits to talk to. I don't know, but it just seems kind of crazy either way. So, that's that.
It's entertainment. We got whole shows on it on Discovery.
Yeah.
So,
actually, Discovery. They are kind of interesting, actually, those kind of shows. I do have to admit, even though it's probably nothing about them, just a bunch of people who somehow managed to grab the attention of the network, but oh well. Sorry to any Ouija board fans out there if we offended you about this, but yeah. What are your thoughts on this video? How long do you think it would take to perfect this from Keaton? Did you guys watch the video before?
I'm watching it right now.
It's Daft Hands. Oh, it's that Daft Punk song where you move your fingers around and stuff, you know? I don't know, you know? You don't have to time it to the music. You just have to... Like, I saw cuts before where the hand wasn't exactly moving, and it did look like that the hand moved from one place to another that looked like it could have been edited in. So I'm really not going to say much on that. Because I think it...
I don't know. It didn't look edited, but...
I saw a few frames that looked edited.
Are those girls' hands or guys' hands?
Yeah, I was wondering that as well.
Because he said him, but I thought it was a girl.
I don't know. Are the nails long?
I don't know. They look really shiny.
Oh, maybe. Unless they're like some like TV personality who has to wear nail gloss or something.
A hand model.
Yeah.
Like those ones that they use on the Wii ads. What was that, Paul?
The hell's up with that ring? He's got some like really weird ring on. It's like a huge plastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just looking at it.
I don't know. Interesting video, nonetheless.
It's kind of interesting, but
people have too much time in the world. That's what I say to these kind of things.
I don't know. You can make that argument with anything, though.
Like with the site.
Yeah.
And programming?
Anything.
Yeah, okay.
Anything.
I want to praise you guys for not swearing so far.
I think we have quite a few times already.
I haven't heard it, so.
The shitty game.
Oh, that's nothing. I leave shitty in.
Okay.
I've heard my grandma say shitty. Does that mean to swear?
No. I border the line at the F word. And
right.
any other derogatory or racial term.
Okay, next
question.
But
anyways, Paul?
Alright, so I'm getting close to profanity with this random ocean noise, but alright. Anyway, have either of you or your guests watched South Park, and have you noticed that they've kind of toned it down recently? You think that the FCC is to blame from Andy?
I don't watch South Park, so I can't answer.
Yeah, I don't watch it very often, so I'm not a regular watcher.
Do you, Paul? Paul?
Yeah, I watch South Park, but I don't know if they've toned it down too much recently. The first episode that they had in a long time was something with AIDS and how money cures AIDS. And that was kind of lame. The next one was... I don't remember what the last one was, but I don't know if they've just toned it down or they've kind of lost some of their talent. But
do they bleep the swears or and like swear words and stuff like that and bad words? Do they bleep that or
it faded in and out right there?
Okay, you know, I personally would have no problem with something like that being on TV if it was after midnight. But if it's before midnight, you need to have the parental advisory and way to filter
out. Oh, swears.
Out.
Yeah, they filter out everything. There's the warning at the beginning. You know, if all impersonations are done poorly and shouldn't be watched by anybody, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I don't know. I'm not sure what's worse.
Maybe they're just running out of ideas.
10 o'clock.
I'm not sure what's worse, whether it's these kind of swear words on these kind of shows are what opened up season 6 of 24, or rather closed it out. Big vampire bite, you know?
The TVs have V-chips, and the digital cable things have parental filters. I think it's the parent's responsibility.
Yes, exactly. Just like it is on the internet, yeah. You know? Like if a kid goes, types like a bad URL into the... computer, it's not their fault. Like, for instance, this URL that I just typed to you guys on the MSN. It's not my fault if you go click it. I'm free to type what I want.
Yeah, I'm not going to click that.
Anyway, that was from Andy. Okay, Mike, you can take the next one.
Okay. What do you think of the current Great Depression wave going over RSPB? Will there be any stop to it? More rules, more leniency. Recently, two members have permanently left, and a whole bunch are away or thinking about it. I think we need a site owner's point of view and some moderators if they're on.
Well, you got two site owners right now.
Yeah, and that's from Burnt Joint.
Do you want to go first, or should I?
You can.
Oh, you can go first.
No, you can.
Okay. You know, there is a great innate tendency of people to emphasize problems that really aren't that bad. You know, in this current wave of problems, there's maybe only one, two, tops three people that have been causing problems that people have been calling a mass big problem. In my view, we should really just move on with it. If there's people doing this that you don't like on the forum, simply add them to the foes list. That's the simplest thing to do, rather than fueling their arguments and just making it a more unpleasant environment for everyone. I'm not going to mention any names, but that's what I have to say on it.
Yeah. I think of it as like panic selling on the stock market. Kind of like someone will say there's a depression, and then everyone kind of agrees with that, and they all think it's a big depression too when there's nothing really happening.
Yeah, exactly. There's other things we could do to please certain people, but this would also piss certain people off. So, sadly, in the event that if we ever wanted to do this, we'd probably end up not doing this, you know?
There won't be any more rules, just, we might have to crack down on a few people.
Yeah, like the baiting, any time a type of baiting thing will be an official warning. Yeah, everybody knows the drill.
They're,
you know,
taking advantage of our leniency.
If you, as Brad said before, if people take advantage of the leniency, we'll just start having to take that leniency away, and some people might not like it, and hopefully people will realize that it was better before and not ruin it for everyone. So, you know, in essence, the forums come down to, it's what the community members make it, you know? There's only, what, 8 of us total? If you count the mods and the owners and the admins, is there 8?
Yeah.
So if you count that, that's really not that many people contributing to the greater whole of the environment. There's a greater number of people outside of the staff circle that are contributing, so it's not
We're
us.
Down to 8 right now, but
okay.
We have more.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Paul, you have any words on this?
I've just seen a lot of reactions recently, and they're a little rash. They don't, you know, just settle down. Just walk away from the computer for a bit and come back later. It's not like it matters that much, but if you're going to be a, you know, kind of a sore loser about it, then just leave and don't make a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to make a, you know, don't need to be a drama queen.
And if you leave, leave. Don't be you're doing it for a little attention seeking. That just annoys when you post that you're leaving but you're really not and you're just doing it for attention. I know there's been a few people in the past, but no.
Yeah, I locked a few topics there because they keep posting on the topic after they supposedly left.
Exactly. So.
And they're still on the forums days later.
Mm-hmm. And just a little word of warning. Admins and mods can see hidden users. So, I think we beat the horse to death. So time to move on. Thank you, Burnt Joint. And no, your name is not won't saying your name won't get you a warning.
Okay, next question.
Okay. Shane, I'm going to build a computer, and I'll be starting in about a month. I don't have this little thing to test if you're grounded or not, and it never says I ground myself. Any tips from Yu-Gi-Oh! Kid 7? You know, I've never used one of those before. One of those grounding apparatuses that tells you if you're grounded or not when you're working inside a computer.
Oh, I've never used one.
I know. Just be sure not to rub your feet on the carpet or against anything else that might build up a charge. Touch the framing of the case, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, so. Touch frame first.
And then if you get zapped, well, that's good. Let you know you're alive. Paul, next one.
Yeah, zapping's not fun. Hey, Shane, I want to know what possessed you to create this wonderful fan site and what got you involved with programming. I like this site because the calculators are easier to get to than others, and I'm into computers. At school, I'm currently learning Visual Basic, not my thing, though some of it is cool. I'm more interested in building computers, from Gunnar Kaiba.
So I think we can all answer this. What got us into programming? I'll go first. For me, it was always just computers interested me. I took a computer science class in high school, took more, and it led to what I'm doing now. Computer science university degree, and the site, and numerous other little things along the way. So, like, the site. So, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much the same for me. I don't know. That first got me into a website and learning HTML and stuff was, believe it or not, Neopets.
Oh, yes.
I used to play that when I was 11 years old, and that got me into learning HTML so I could set up my shop.
Yes,
to sell items.
Yes, yes, yes.
Cat now loves you.
What?
Yeah, she plays that, doesn't she?
Yeah, Cat now loves him deeply.
Well, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty much how it went. What about you, Paul?
I don't do programming very much. So, yeah, I've done a little bit in the past, and I'm doing a little bit now in a class I'm in. But I probably wouldn't pursue it in a career. But I do think it's quite interesting.
Computer science is not programming. We know that, right, Mike? Like, it's not programming. It's like figuring out how to do certain things that aren't exactly programming related.
Yeah.
Programming is the methodology for expressing yourself.
Too much math.
Yeah, but it's sort of interesting to see what you can do, and it's actually kind of scary. So, thank you, Gunnar Kaiba. Mike, next one, please.
Who is the most annoying person you know, and why do you find them annoying? And that's from Vampire Low 609.
Okay.
I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes, I think.
Okay. I don't know. I don't really know anyone too annoying.
Not me.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, and it wouldn't be right to mention their name on here, would it? You know?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be right. So I'm not going to do that either. Let's reword the question. What do you find annoying about people? I can tell you one thing. It's people who don't chew properly.
Okay. Who don't what properly?
They don't chew properly.
They get cut out, sorry.
They don't chew like, you know.
Oh, who does that?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I don't know. Just various people that I've seen before and stuff, you know? Just annoys me. Like this, for instance, one was this woman at Best Buy last weekend behind the till, just munching like a cow. So, and it is, yeah. Pushy salespeople also, you know? Those ones on commission. Yeah. So, that's that. Paul, any annoying people that you want to point out that won't be hearing this?
Got a couple annoying people, but I won't name names, I suppose. Although some annoying people that definitely won't listen to this that won't mind, they don't know who they are, or maybe they do. But don't start arguments that you always lose. Just, okay.
Yeah, sure.
I know people, and they always pick the same arguments, and they always lose. So, yeah, if just don't pick a fight if you can't put up the arguments. Just putting that out there.
And if you can't win, assassinate the person ahead of you.
What?
It's a bit extreme, but, yeah.
Thank you, VampireLow609. Next question from Jason MRC. In any game, what's your combat stance? Do you try and go defensive and stay alive? Do you go offensive and try to kill as many possible? Or do you just go passive and try and stay alive but don't sacrifice damage to do so? From Jason MRC. You know, this is a perfect example. We could apply this to Call of Duty 4 since we all play that. So, Paul, first up.
What happened?
Oh, you must be lagging again. He's asking what kind of combat stance you have in Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, sorry, just yeah. I think my university filters out Peter voice. Anyway, in any multiplayer game such as Call of Duty 4, I don't know. Camping out isn't one of my favorite things, so I'm usually one of the people who sneaks around a little bit and just goes kind of for it, all for it. So my kill to death ratio is not what it could be, but I have a lot of fun. So that's all that I'm in for. I mean, if you're just sitting there camping out, sniping people, you'll get a lot of kills, but that's not the most fun thing to me. I'd rather be out there just doing as much damage as I can.
I like sniping people because you get to see their head fly apart.
Yeah, I go and hunt down the campers.
Yeah, that's always fun to do too. Personally, I just like move around the edges. I only fire if I'm guaranteed a shot on someone, so it won't compromise me. So that's pretty much what I do. And if I see someone's camping in a room after they kill me or something, I will go out and eliminate them. Because, you know, it's just not fair for them to kill you, but you not to kill them. So, you know, it goes both ways.
Payback. You gotta love it.
Yes. Does anybody else have anything on this one? Whoa, I think you just lagged again. God.
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, moving on. Mike, can you read the next one, please?
All right. if and when humans develop robots with artificial intelligence, how do you think it would affect the world at first? How do you think technology would then progress over the years? And do you think the robots will rebel against their human overlords as depicted in films like The Matrix and AI?
And I Am Robot.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
And The Terminators.
Yeah. Man, so, if that ever happens, we're screwed.
Uh-huh. That was from Anubis. But anyways, you guys can go first as I have a rather long-winded explanation on this.
You can go first, Paul.
All right. If we develop artificial intelligence that is actually truly, intelligent, think by itself, react by itself, it'll carry us quite a ways into the future. But as for them taking over or, trying to fight back, I don't know if we'd let that happen. Like, I'm sure we'd build in safeguards just to make sure that wouldn't happen. But then there's the whole scenario that they can circumvent that. But I don't know. I think it's a bit of a long shot at this point, but I don't know. It makes great entertainment. That's all I can say.
2050. 2050.
So we're supposed to have AI?
By then, at least. Oh. Mike?
Well, I don't know. There's been so many films about it that hopefully anything that gets built, everyone should, there should be the restrictions in place to prevent it from happening. And I don't know if we'll get as many robots as are depicted in the films, like 1-to-1 ratio of robots to humans, like servants. Do you think that would ever happen?
Eventually. But not at first.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it shouldn't ever happen, but I guess there's always the possibility.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, my idea is that, yes, it will happen eventually. And, it'll be just like dealing with any other race. So, if you did something to piss them off, like attacked, like a robotic city or something, you would get attacked by them, It'd just be like another race. So, as long as you're nice to them, you never know. But I think that it would happen.
EMP.
yes. Destroy your creations.
That's a weapon they use in all the movies.
Mm-hmm. See, it is, but once you crack that egg open, there's practically no more need for human developers to develop the technology anymore, because AI technology will develop itself and keep improving itself, so... eventually humans will just be playthings, We'll just sit and enjoy ourselves. And one day we could be replaced by robots and robots could end up exploring the universe for us. Because, a computer would be able to think so much faster than a human. So hence why the development cycle would greatly increase. So, it's just a matter of time until we just have to go hands off and then let it go on its own once that happens.
That seems kind of scary.
Well, that's the way it'll work. Because if you think about it, who doesn't want to better themselves? Like if you have a chance to stay the same or better yourself, which one will you pick?
Mm-hmm. You're going to want to better yourself, yeah.
Exactly. So the robots will just keep bettering themselves until they're able to basically form a civilization of their own. So
bunch of overclocked robots walking around.
So, I don't know. This kind of stuff really interests me. Yeah, it will proceed one day to the point where they will be doing our exploring and we'll just be here, doing what? Drinking tea and maintaining the systems that make the robots, I guess, unless they're doing that already. Like, basically, humans would become obsolete. So... I don't know. For anybody who's interested in hearing more about this, check out the Ray Kurzweil books. Those are interesting with their predictions and whatnot about AI and stuff. So, interesting reading. Thank you, Anubis. How much money do you have in RuneScape, cash and other items combined, and how did you make it? This is from KJTH. He has a sub question later, which we'll get to. So, net worths. Paul first.
Net worth items that I can easily get to put me over 150 mil. And that's basically like non-Varos armor, cash, Bantanos God Sword, Dragon Fire Shield, stuff like that. Including everything else, anywhere between 200 and 250, although I think it would be on the lower side of that. And to make that, a lot of Slayer was a large portion. A little bit of God Wars, but majority of that was not God Wars at all. And Barrows back in the day.
Oh yeah, Barrows was good back then, so.
Yeah.
Mike?
Back when it used to be really good money.
I have about 180 mil worth of stuff.
You just need to
I don't have
down.
Like any cash. I only have 3 mil cash.
Loud.
But I have a God Sword and Bandos top and bottom, Dragonfire Shield and stuff.
DFS.
I got rid of all DFS.
Yeah.
DFS.
Inside joke.
Okay. Yeah, I got rid of all my rares when Grand Exchange came out. It took a really long time to sell the purple pea hat. I just couldn't get rid of it for like a few months. It was just sitting on there. I'd never want one again now.
Yeah, they haven't moved since Grand Exchange came out.
Yeah, as for making money, I'm not sure really how I made my money. Like, way back when, I used to have a green pea hat that I sold to so that me and Shane could go KQing. But that was a failed adventure. The green pea hat like tripled in value, and we
after,
only got
right
one
right after
Shane.
You sold it.
Yeah, right. Like the day after. Anyways,
I blame a certain ex-member of the forums for that.
Hello, 5K.
Yeah, that's why I don't invest in rares. I always get screwed. I always get screwed.
I got screwed with the Bandos God Sword.
It happens to me every time. Every time I buy an item, I do make the wrong choice at the wrong time.
Yes.
I haven't made money for years, really. I don't know how I make my money.
Drops?
Yeah, I used to do Bandos a long time ago. I mean, not Bandos, Barrows. I don't know how I got those confused.
Come on,
but anyways.
Mike. Come on, Mike. We all know you're a pro hacker.
Yeah. Shh. No.
Okay.
I don't think about a player mod hack too much. Just
no.
No.
All right, now. Let's see. I'd say no more than 80 mil in net worth. Count the items, one Santa hat that I keep around in the cash. No more than 80 mil. As for how I made it, I have no idea where the hell it came from after Project Green. I was down to 4 mil and then back up to 50 mil in January.
It
just seems
how
to come
works.
Out of nowhere, you know?
I don't know where it comes from. Like, I just have, like, a stockpile of items, some, like, coal or something, and just sell it all, and all of a sudden I have money.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, do you guys ever find that when you need money, you don't have it, but when you have money, you don't need it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I must not need money right now, because it's just lying around. I'm
I could take some of that. I could take some of that if you wanted.
Trade at 3K at a
Sorry,
time.
Sorry, 30K trade limit.
Yeah, 3K at a time. But
lag.
Yeah, it just seems to come and go like that, but I have no idea where it comes from. It's just something that accumulates over time, I guess.
Yeah. Slayer seems to be like the best way to make money, but like you don't really notice you're making money at the time. You just find out later you have all these items and just sell them all.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, and now, aside from some slight noises there from Oscar, we're heading on to the second part of this question. As I was looking through space on my hard drive, I noticed that the numbers, individual bytes, do not add up to the gigabytes. Can you explain how this happens, and how do I fix it? As you can see, somewhere I lose around 5 gigabytes. Should I explain this?
Well, the problem is there's a 1024
and 1000
bytes per kilobyte.
So you have to take that bytes number and divide it by 1024 to the power of 3, and if you do that, you will get 55.8 gigabytes. Because that's the binary number, 2 to the 10, I believe.
Yeah, there's some confusion how they sell hard drives in gigabytes that are in 1,000 bytes per second, or bytes per kilobyte, and etc.
But it's labeled as binary bytes rather than decimal bytes.
Yeah, the correct term should be like
GIB.
MIBI bytes and
yes,
Kibby bytes.
And Gibby bytes or something.
That's what they should have on their GIB.
On the box rather than GB and stuff. GB and MB, KB are what the computer uses.
No, but isn't it the other way? Like the regular ones are 1,000 and the
MIBI. Yeah, the regular ones are 1,000. So the regular ones are the KI, GI, and etc. I think.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, it's. I thought it was the other way.
Yeah, because they sell in, because they label them as binary, but they're in decimal. So I don't know.
I thought the hard drives were labeled correctly, but in the operating system, it should actually be IB, shouldn't it? Or maybe I have it reversed. I've confused myself now.
Yeah, because.
But the actual problem with KGTH is. That he's mentioning is that it's 1024 per
kilobyte. Divide by 1024 to the power of 3 and you'll be fine. So there's nothing wrong with it.
We'll have to look that up.
Because I have a 160 gigabyte hard drive that's registering as 149 gigabytes in Windows. So it should be listed on the box as 160 GIB.
No, those are the 1024, the IBs.
They are?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I guess so, because otherwise kilometer and stuff would be KIM and stuff. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. So, yes, in the OS, it should be GIB, 149 GIB. Or just synchronize the labeling. It's all very confusing, but as for your problem, just divide by 1024 to the power of 3.
It's probably because that's how it was done originally, and I don't know. Then they later introduced it as like a standard unit.
Yeah, exactly.
And Windows hasn't updated it yet, neither has anyone else.
That's right. So
I noticed the PHPBB has their downloads in MIBI bytes. So
that's right then. Okay. So, well, that was certainly a confusing question even for me. Thank you, KJTH. Hopefully we didn't confuse you too bad. Finally, Paul, last question.
What is the craziest thing that you have ever done, and that is against the law or some kind of rules? And thanks from Marco Macro 995.
You called him Macro?
Yeah.
That's so mean, Shane.
That's how it reads, is Macro.
No, it's Marco. M-A-R-C-O. Marco.
Brad agreed with me last week.
No. Anyways.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm not one to do wild things like that, so.
Yeah, nor am I.
I don't
really
break any laws.
Yeah, we got some boring answers for this question today. None of us have done
anything.
Yeah, you
really
know.
Really crazy.
Brad always tells people to go outside and run naked, so maybe he's done that in the past. I don't know. We'll have to ask him next week. I'm sure that violates some law somewhere, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So,
public nudity?
Yeah, unless you're on one of those French beaches, you know? So.
I don't want to see any French people.
No,
naked.
No.
Okay, thank you, Marco. We're moving on to tech news now. First story of the week, Demonoid is back, Demonoid.com. They got a new owner now. Demos, the former site administrator, has handed over the reins to someone else, so now someone by the name of Umlauf is running the site, UMLAUF, so that's pretty good, I'd say, you know? We all missed Demonoid in the time that it was gone, so finally. I take it we all use Demonoid here?
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Anyways, if you don't know what Demonoid is, Google Demonoid and you'll be amazed at what you find. So,
it's basically invite only, though.
Yeah, it's invite only. But it's not too hard to get an invite if you Google around for it. Now, one just wonders how long it'll be before they shut down again, so let's just hope that they don't.
We're not promoting piracy in any way.
That's right. Does anybody know where they relocated this time?
I don't know. Ping it.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's see. Or no, I don't have, let's see, trace root. I don't have trace root on here.
I don't have it installed either.
Oh, God. Like, figures with Unix, they'd put it in, but anyways. Demonoid.com, doing a trace, so we'll just let that happen, and I'll update it when it's done. Next peak of news. Piece of news. Flickr video has been launched. Basically, you can put Flickr up. Oh, my God. What am I saying? I don't know. I'm losing my mind. Video Flickr has been launched. Basically, you'll be able to put video on Flickr now, which means that it's sort of the equation of a microblog. If you were considering YouTube as a full-blown blog, Flickr video would be like a microblog, because you can only put so many. Like, the videos are limited to 2 minutes and 30 seconds, so.
Oh, I thought it was 90 seconds.
Oh, really? Oh, maybe yeah. I read it wrong, so. Definitely a lot shorter video, so in a way it's sort of like more to the point and just quick videos rather than full-blown 10-minute long videos, you know? So, I don't know. Do you guys think it'll do anything to YouTube's market share?
No.
Probably not.
Because, you know, YouTube is
YouTube's big.
And YouTube is good at what it's good at, you know? So.
Well, the Flickr videos seem to be like more like just like home videos, I guess. Like short little clip from a home video or something.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't want to post that. So, I don't know. If you have a Flickr account and you're into Flickr, try it. I just thought it was kind of interesting, so I put it in that you can do this now on here.
I thought it was only for pro users, or is it for everyone?
I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that. So, maybe. Who knows? But this is a sample video they did.
Hi, this is Shell Israel, on location for TechCrunch. Flickr Video has launched, and we're here on the scene first. TechCrunch Video on Flickr Video. It's awesome. Maybe a YouTube competitor will have to see.
Okay, that kind of sounds like those power drink commercials.
It was a
what
puppet.
What do they call those?
A puppet. That
a
was
puppet?
Doing...
Yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, that's that. So, good for Flickr.
And I found that it is only for pro users.
Okay, so that's good to know. Well, if you're a pro user, let us know how you like that. You know, the trace route for Demonoid goes in Stockholm, so maybe they're in Sweden now. I don't know.
I'll check the IP,
the final IP? I'll paste it to you, because I don't know where to go check those, actually, so I'll paste it to you. Here is the IP of Demonoid. So anyways, moving on.
It's in the Ukraine.
Oh, okay. So I don't know why I was going through Stockholm, then. That's weird. 22 hops. That's weird. Anyways.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe they have mirrors all over or something.
Maybe. Maybe it moves around. Maybe it's like a server on a bus or something.
Yeah.
Drives across Europe and Asia.
Okay.
Now,
you don't
that
think
would be
so?
An interesting concept.
I think that would be a good idea.
And they never know where to find you.
Exactly. Okay, home copying. Basically, they're saying that more than half of young people copy songs onto their hard drives and share them with people. And overall, 95% of people surveyed said they've engaged in some form of copying, which, of course, the record companies do not like. So, I don't know, is this just some study proving what we've known all along, or...
Well,
yeah, I posted this on our forums, and everyone is like, yeah, this isn't new.
So
everyone knows this.
So it's clearly a sign of the times, then, that these industries need to change, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah. It'll never happen.
Go RIAA.
Yeah. Contrary to popular belief of some people, I am not like the RIAA. Anyways, yeah.
Okay, you're just adding to the drama or whatever.
Oh yeah, right. Oops. Oh well. But I'm not an RIAA person. I completely disagree with all everything that they do, and it's just something that has to change. And you know, it's not going to change until, like, how many people can they sue?
Too many people. Oh.
Yeah.
I like knowing what I'm buying before I buy it. Like,
exactly.
I'm not going to buy a whole album based on one song that I hear on the radio.
Or if you could just listen to even the 30-second clips on iTunes, you know? Like, that's not enough to know if you want a song.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So it's clearly not going to change. But I really don't think if you bought it before and copying it for your own personal use, that's really not a problem.
Yeah.
So
they've already got your money. It's not like... It's not like you're totally downloading it for free and you never have paid for it and you're never intending to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that, you know, there's a different mindset behind what you do.
And technically, copying stuff is legal in Canada because whenever you buy a recordable media, whether it be a DVD or CD, you pay a tariff on that. That goes to the recording industry in Canada, the CRIA.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, it's annoying. So... And same goes for these damn recycling fees that they make you pay with a new computer. God. Like $10 for a recycling fee. Anyways, that's beside the point.
Anyways.
More of the Microsoft and Yahoo drama. Sort of like RSPNB, but actually, no, not really. It's not worth $44 million.
Just a bit more money.
Yeah. $44 billion, I mean.
Billion, yeah.
Microsoft warned the board of Yahoo this past Saturday that if a merger agreement was not completed in the next 3 weeks, Microsoft would make its offer directly to shareholders, probably at a lower price. The warning was made by Microsoft Chief Executive Officer Stephen A. Ballmer in a letter sent by email that expressed the dismay at Yahoo's refusal to enter into the formal negotiations over Microsoft's January 31st takeover bid and warned that without an agreement by the deadline, Microsoft would seek to oust Yahoo's board. Typical Microsoft. You know?
Yeah, they're currently offering, like, is it double the current stock price, or?
Almost, I think it was. So.
Is it almost double?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good deal for
but, you know,
shareholders. So.
I wouldn't want to be bought by Microsoft.
Yeah.
You know? I'd rather go out fighting.
Yeah, I'd like to see Yahoo put up a fight, but, you know, it's the shareholders, and if the shareholders own enough stock to do it, then not really much that can be done.
They should go get help from Google if the shareholders didn't want to do it and they still wanted to be bought out and they wanted to make a real competitor to Microsoft.
Yeah, isn't Yahoo's main office, like, right next to Google's main office?
Well, all the web companies are in the same general area, so it wouldn't be that hard to go for lunch together, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Have some secret covert meetings, you know, and get rid of Microsoft and maybe put Windows to bed. I'm still waiting for Service Pack 3, by the way.
Oh, yeah, wasn't that supposed to be out by now?
Yeah, it was supposed to be out last week or something. I haven't seen it anywhere.
I thought it was just on beta.
Yeah, it's the...
RC2.
It's like the refresh or something. You had the beta refresh.
So, anyways, yeah.
I'm on Vista Service Pack 1, so...
Is it good?
Yeah. It's all right, yeah. The major change, at least the only thing I can really notice, is copying, deleting any type of action that requires a lot of small files to be moved in any way has been sped up significantly. Like before, it took forever just to move like 500 1 kilobit files or something like that. And now it's gone. You know, you say delete, it's gone. Which is, I don't know why it was so slow before, but
we need that fix on Windows XP.
Yeah.
But anyways, on to rants now. Who wants the first one? You two flip a coin.
Doesn't matter as long as I can stay connected. Not connected, but active.
Okay, so either of you go, whoever starts talking first.
Go ahead.
Okay, just go.
All right. Mages haven't had a good update in 2 years. You can say that we got the Steam Battle Staff and the Third Age Mage set, but what can you do with that? What can you do with them? You could cast Humidify without needing more runes, and the Third Age has horrible defense stats. Melier's got 4 new weapons, a new set of strength-increasing armor, and 2 new armored boots. Ranger's got a new set of armor and a mediocre bow with a new type of arrows/darts. The max hit for melee is 110 for Drox, 41-41 special, up to 328 damage total for DDS, and 80+ for Godsword. You max it for range, or the max hit for range is 150 Ruby E Bolt special on Steel Titan, and a 49-49 special for Darkbow. What's the max hit for Mage? A measly 30 if you use Ice Barrage. For those who say you can hit up to 9 people with Ice Barrage, that's 270 max. 1-1-1-1. I say there are 3 problems with that. First, what are the chances of hitting up to 9 30s at a time? And second, what if the mage isn't in a multi-combat place or is just fighting one person? And third, Dragonhide can counter the magic spells. All Emilier has to do is put on a second set of Dragonhide and then he can easily go and DDS special the mage without getting hit. The spike fams even have a strength bonus. And I have a few solutions to this. One is to make negative melee stat on Dragonhide when fighting other players. Another is to make a new set of spells that can only be unlocked by doing a hard quest. And by hard, I mean not hard, like long quests like Legends and DT that require 95 plus mage for best spells and many runes. And edit, you can still do the quest without 95 plus mage, but to get the most benefit from the spells, you need 95 mage. And also, they can make a new set of armor that has good melee defense, but a bad melee range attack bonus. Yeah, he has some stuff that's not fully true, but
yeah.
But mages do need a bit of a power up, like, I will say.
Well, they can freeze people in place, though. And
well, yeah, I guess that's true.
But then I guess rangers can counter that, so I don't know.
And can't rangers freeze people somehow too?
You can slow them down. I don't think you can freeze.
Oh,
like
the
mud pie. Yeah.
So.
But
I just want a magic spell that can hit 60.
That would be insane.
And that can make people lose their equipment and make it fall down onto the ground. You know.
That would just be cruel. That would be way overpowered.
Why? Yeah. That's how real life magic would be.
Well, I don't know. If you got attacked, then all of a sudden, randomly, you had lag or you just got logged out, you'd lose your god sword or something. And that would be a slight inconvenience to anybody who has something like that.
An inconvenient truth. It's inconvenient and it's true.
Okay.
Oh, hey, Al.
What about a spell that turns their items into notes?
Oh, God. Oh, wow. They should have done that for the April Fool's update. Oh, that would have been insane.
Then you just appear like... No, it turns you into notes and you actually start wearing paper.
Yeah, and after you run out of items, you turn into a note.
Oh my.
I would so pick up mage. I would start using magic so much more often if I could do that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, there's a bit of a point that magic is underpowered, but it's not as bad as the guy says. As you point out, the mages can freeze people and whatnot, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't have much to say on this one unless you guys do. It'd be nice if we had some former PKers here, you know? So, but oh yeah. Well.
I don't know. The combat triangle isn't... I mean, in Bounty
it's
Hunter,
more of
yeah,
a square
it's
now,
there.
Isn't it? With summoning?
I haven't seen too many people
summoning
use...
is...
Yeah.
Summoning is like an addition to all three. So it's still triangle.
Okay. That'd be fun, the square. Okay.
Squares are weaker, though, so... I don't know.
Okay. Any more on that?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Thank you. I'll be taking the next one. I like Fog. It's a fun game. It makes you use your head, but I do have a little wee problem. More? We need more. Make it bigger and add more places to hide to make it longer.
Oh.
Give us bang for our buck.
It's free!
The portals are great. Add in a few houses, some agility stuff, and add some monsters. Add it in for... make this game rock. Something I'd be very interested would be magic or ranged rocks. The current rocks only protect from melee. Magic, range, and mage, F-O, over it. The guy can't spell. Say there were rocks that stopped missiles, spells, or missiles going over them. I won't... a mini game. I give up. I give up.
Well, it doesn't look like he has any more points anyways.
I know. It's like, I won't... I'm sorry, but I can't read your rant if you're like that.
He's just asking for ridiculous things.
Yeah, he's probably a peer.
Like, making it bigger, that would make it even more boring. Hiding is the boring part.
Yeah. What
just
if they
sitting there
like,
doing nothing.
What if they let you use the bounty hunter teleport in there?
Oh, it'd make it much faster, but I don't know. I think that would kind of ruin,
yeah.
ruin the idea.
Oh,
so
it'd be, I don't know.
I don't know. It's just such a stupid game, you know. Like these ideas would make it more stupid. Hide and seek. There you go. That's a good way of looking at it. Maybe we should do it for a hide and seek event this month. No.
Ever like all the noobs hide around the edges, but. I don't see the point. You don't get any points. It
exactly.
just extends the game longer.
Which isn't fun. So.
No. Why hide? You're mm-hmm. supposed to be in the center to get points.
And what the heck? Agility things?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay. I'm done with this one. You guys have anything?
No.
Okay.
Grab a dictionary, for the love of God. Grab a dictionary.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Wow.
Mike?
Okay. As State of Play was introduced, I was glad to finally hear something, anything. But I quickly noticed that there is no plan to fix the gravestones. Or do they? Now, this puzzles me, as this is an easy, common sense fix. As most know, the number one reason people die and lose items is because they get disconnected while fighting. And gravestones are purposely designed to disappear when one logs or gets disconnected. So this influences how players play the game. Plan for this. Don't wear your best items. What concerns me most is why they have not fixed it yet. Maybe they don't see it as an issue yet. I have saw countless players lose items even while getting attacked and getting disconnected, or the WSOD, white screen of death. No time to even bless the gravestone as it disappears or does not even appear. Simple solution is to make the Angel of Death work the 5 minutes it costs 500k for, and if one blesses it, that the 59 minutes take 59 minutes, not just disappeared due to a technical problem that is the player's fault. That is not the player's fault. Players would have more Players would have more confidence with the new system that Jagex seems to be implementing. Does Jagex not even consider this as a possible fix in the future? This is a common sense fix. It should be fixed as gravestones gave the impression that they cared about legitimate players losing items and were trying to help, but as the experienced player knows, most losses occur due to disconnections and WSODs. And this really did nothing to help. I don't see in any way how real world item trading benefit from gravestones disappearing, so why hasn't this not been addressed? Is it too much to ask? I'm not asking you to refund items. The player has a computer totally crashed during combat, resulting in death and loss of items. Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, me too, actually, because, you know, if it is, I didn't know it disappears if you were to disconnect or log out.
You didn't?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it does.
Well, that should definitely be fixed then. I'd have to say this is the most decent rant we've had this month.
The only time I've lost items is from dying from being disconnected.
Yeah.
I lost my fire cape from being disconnected while fighting a black dragon.
Ouch.
I almost died and lost the fire cape when I was fighting a steel dragon. I logged back in, I had 22 health left.
That's lucky.
I know, very lucky. So, yeah.
I remember reading this, I don't know if it was this exact rant on the forums, but it was the same general concept. A Jagex mod had posted however many pages into it, and the reason currently, according to them, why they cannot do this is that there's some issues with it logging, or when a player logs out, them just not logging in for like a week or more, and they don't want players to abuse that capability. I don't know how you would abuse that, because if your stuff's on the ground, I don't, you know, not getting it back for a month, I don't know why that would be, you know, beneficial.
Well,
but
or even just making the gravestones disappear after that 4 or 5 minutes rather than just when you log out.
Yeah, why does that have to be relative to the player? It could just be relative to when they died, according to the server.
You know what this tells us? Yeah. It tells us that the gravestones are indeed tied in with the login and logout system somehow. So.
Yeah.
Well, they must be like tied to the player.
Yeah, so a bit of a design flaw there.
It runs on the player's computer.
Yeah. That's what
so
that
it's not,
means.
So the gravestones aren't really stored by the server?
That would be, well, if they did that, then I'm surprised we haven't heard any really weird, you know, not necessarily glitches, but people like hacking the game. And I mean, if it was based off your own computer, you could edit it, and I don't know, I'd think that we'd see more things about that, but maybe I'm just not in the correct circle. But
I don't think it's that easy to do with Java. Mm-hmm. And the way their client is currently set up.
Well, yeah, you can't easily reverse compile their client anymore. It's all like stored on the server, and you can't really get it easily anymore.
Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's what I've heard, anyways.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I don't know anything about it.
Interesting, though. So, but definitely good rant and should be looked into further. So hopefully we see something about that.
Yeah, I think it really should be changed. You know, I don't know why, but, you know, lag happens. Jagex knows this, and especially with this new minigame, lag has been huge. And this problem has been out since they released it. And, you know, a lot of people, it happens to everybody. So it's something that needs to be addressed. I mean, I don't know. I'm surprised they let it go this long.
Yeah, well, you know Jagex and how long it takes them to do things, so. Oh, a little tickle in my throat. But anyways, that's rants. On to some other things. Not really much aside on RSBNB this week, but Mike did upgrade the forums to PHPBB 3.01, which means you can now turn off the word filter. I know I have it turned off.
Yeah, me too.
So if you're interested in posting on the forums, you can come to forums.rsbnb.com, pay us a visit. Everyone's nice there. We've got a nice, welcoming forum for you to post in and introduce yourselves. Yep. So feel free to come and do that.
Yep. And some people are coming back as well.
There's an old saying, no one ever leaves RSBNB.
Yeah, people used to say that all the time.
And it continues to prove to be true.
Yeah. Hello5k was... He came back after being banned for 2 years.
Yep. Lucy has come back a few times, you know.
Yeah.
Pika's come back once or twice. So, it seems to be true. So, RSVNB is a welcoming place. New Informer people will be announced this weekend after we sift through some of the interviews that have been done. Just have to make a few final decisions, and those guys will be added to the Informer staff, so pay attention for those new people. So what have we all been up to? Paul, first?
Real life. Had an exam yesterday. That was, excuse me, that was fun. That was sarcastic. I don't know. Getting towards the end of the school year, so...
Exactly.
Yay.
Yes, exactly.
In RuneScape, haven't been doing too much recently. Been doing God War Dungeon a bit more. Armadil, which is interestingly fun. Not that bad, actually. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, okay. And Slayer. Got to do the skill of the month.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's see. Who is winning that anyways?
Anubis. He has not let the lead go down since the first day.
And his computer's broken, too.
Yeah, he's just keeping up the lead. Wow. I was close that first day, that one day. And then the second day, he got, like, a lot. It was, like, 150K. I don't know. It was a lot.
This is definitely an interesting skill of the month, being that it's also the most competitors that we've ever had. So, interesting to watch.
There's still 4 people with 0 experience.
Oh, I'm one of them. I haven't been playing RuneScape lately.
Go do a Slayer task tonight.
Right now I have Scabrites. Those are so annoying when he gets those. I have to skip it, and then I'll probably get dogs. That's why I've been putting it off. I hate Birthrope.
Yeah. So, Mike, what have you been up to?
Well, I guess just school assignments mostly.
Yeah, that's what I was up to last week too. So,
I haven't done like anything.
Yeah, it's that time of the year, you know. So, any RSVNB stuff you want to shed light on beside the forum update?
Not really.
Okay. So school, okay. Me, well. On RSVNB, I've been working on a little addition to the SIG page, which will be out this weekend, probably, assuming we can find out why it's crashing Opera. Like this.
Oh, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
it's this page, and it should be working, right? But basically, whenever you click on this one image or the radio button, it crashes Opera. Like, not just completely, like, freezes it up, it sends one of those things, do you wish to report this problem to Apple, Microsoft, or whoever? Like, completely takes the browser down.
Leave it up.
It's a very weird problem.
I did some Herblore. Decided not going to go through with Herblore anymore, so I have 50 mil sitting. So if anybody has any ideas as to what I should proceed with this summer, let me know. On RuneWire or the forums or something. So, yeah, that's that. Finished assignments, classes are done now, so on to studying for tests now. So, that should be fun. That's all I've been up to. Anybody have anything else before we tie this one off?
Come to the events. Look
at
the events forum.
Events.
Go to everything. Yes. I think we have a Trawler event this Sunday, so show up.
Weekly
last week,
Trawler.
I think we had, about 8 people or 10 people.
Oh, that's a better turnout than usual.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't do that well, though. We only had, I think, a max of 300 or 400 fish, so come on, high-level fishers, come join us. Have fun.
Yeah, every week.
Every week, same time.
Yeah,
there's
same.
A notice on the bottom of the forums, and how many hours before does the counter at the top of the forums appear?
I think I made it to it 4 hours before or something,
okay.
Or maybe 3.
Okay. So, I need to pay more attention to inside the events for us, but what's happening for this month's events, actually. Do we have any ideas yet? Anything you can shed light on?
We've got ideas, and they are being debated. We'd like to do another God Wars-type event, because that was such a hit last month, and people keep begging for it this month. Although we might need a little more enthusiasm on the forums, possibly, to finally convince a certain person that we need to go to God Wars again. But
he's taking leave, so yeah, we'll talk about this later.
Right.
So, but God Wars event possibly. What else have we got for free to play? You think?
Probably be checking out the new minigame that everyone must love.
The Fog of Gothics. Okay.
Yeah, we've got some secret stuff I can't necessarily divulge currently because I believe it's supposed to remain a secret.
Okay.
But yeah, look forward to this month. Should be good.
Okay. Mike, anything else?
Nope.
Okay. So with that said, RSBNB Update 148 is done for PFK99's Paul SilverWiz9, now Events Crew member. RedWire.com/PFK99s, is it?
Yep.
Okay. And Mike, who, you're not active on RuneWire that much, are you?
I haven't been playing RuneScape lately, No.
If you have any questions for Mike, PM him on the forums.
Yep.
And me, RuneWire.com/Shane. Remember, everyone, be nice, be safe, have a good night. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.